Någonstans i Nordmark.
Hello everybody and welcome back to a new episode of your favorite podcast Någonstans i Nordmark, or as we like to call it, somewhere in Drachenwald.
Yes, well, very
Lana.
Welcome.
Hey.
Yes, hey!
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Well,
I'm glad.
Enjoying the spring weather and, hoping for some light at the end of the tunnel.
You mean summer?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. It's what Swedes hope for the most at this time of year. But absolutely, we're not going to talk about Sweden today.
Absolutely not.
We're going to talk about, and we're not going to talk about us either. Much.
No.
Just a tiny bit. We have got guests.
Oh, yes, we have.
And
please,
as usual, we would love for you guys to introduce yourselves so that we get all the names and everything right. But welcome to our podcast and please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Estrid of Nordmark. I used to be called Estrid Salten Sebestid when I lived in Nordmark, and then I moved away from there and changed my name to Estrid of Nordmark. And now I live in southern Germany, which is in the southern part of Nice Crossing.
And I am Athelstan of Wortham, who, although I don't come from Germany originally, I met the SCA here, and I've always played SCA in Turmstadt, which is one of the cantons of Knights Crossing. And down here, I'm also the prior of a thing called Wortham Priory, which is a service household.
Yes, and I'm also in Turmstadt, of course. That's
wonderful. Wonderful.
Exactly, where is Turmstadt?
That's an interesting question.
Excellent.
Everything is greater, Turmstadt.
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
So Turmstadt is centered around basically the mundane, the modern, the real cities of Nuremberg and Bamberg and maybe Regensburg, if that means to you. So it's a region of Germany called Franconia or Franken, but it's not all of Franken because our neighbors in Meadow Marsh stole one corner.
They stole Stein then.
They stole Aschaffenburg, which is where some very good people are. But that's okay. We're still friends.
That's good. That's what we like.
But the thing is, the shire to our south, Isengau, which was Munich, has disappeared. So we also have members who play quite far down in Bavaria, right down towards the Alps, even down towards Austria as well. So you can think of us as the right hand side of southern Germany.
Okay, so it's a fairly big area.
It is pretty big. I mean, just across our core area is a couple of hours drive. So we really do have to think about that when we're planning things, people getting here, getting away again, what works for people, moving things like practices around, trying to do events in different parts of the group when we can.
Cool. But you, Estrid, you found the SCA before you moved to Germany when you were still in Nordmark.
Yes, absolutely.
When was this? Tell us a bit about the background.
When dinosaurs roamed Earth, about 1985 was actually my first event. So I started in what is now Attemark. I actually was one of the founders of the group, was then called Torsheim. I was the first seneschal down there. And then after a little while, I became the first Baroness of Nordmark when Nordmark was a barony. So I was in Nordmark. I've been in Nordmark most of my SCA life. I'm 39 years into the SCA now.
Yeah.
And the last 12 has been done here.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then that's still a fair amount of time that you have been out of Nordmark as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, 12 years, it's not... It's about the time that I have been in the SCA. So, I mean...
You're a newbie.
Son of a child.
And I'm such a baby.
Yeah,
look at that.
I know.
But for you, Aitston, you mean you're not from Germany originally, but you found the SCA when you got there.
It's quite freaky because I used to live in a tiny village in England called Goodworth Clatford, which nobody would have heard of. But anyone who was playing SCA in England in the 90s would have had one of their biggest events every summer in the next village over. So literally I was a couple of fields away from the SCA, but never discovered it. I met it when I got over here in the early 90s, and I was into role-playing games. I used to run historical role-playing games. And once I was at a role-playing convention, there were these weird people outside doing this sort of weird fighting with sticks, you know. And I went down and said hi, and they were very nice people. Lots of them were Americans back then. And in my first experience of the SCA was very much an American side and a German side, and they weren't always very comfortable with each other. Good people on both sides, has been said before, but there were different ways of playing. And I was interested, and this is way before internet, so I gave them my phone number, and they said, shall we call you? And I said, yeah, call me. And they called and said, we're doing a thing this weekend, you want to come? And I said, not really. And they said, can we call again? And I said, sure. And after about seven or eight, I finally caved. You know, seven or eight calls, I gave in and actually went along with my friend, who's now Mistress Solvay. We went to our first event together, and it was really in our local town. So it was just a kilometer away from our home. So I think that's quite important when you're starting off, that things are nearby and you feel you can get away if you want to from the weirdos, you know. And we had a fantastic time. We didn't pay for the feast, weren't sure if we would stay. The folks heard this. They were immediately offering us, you know, food from their plates, got us to sit down. Just some really, really wonderful people who just wanted to be great hosts and take care of us. And then we both got into it and went through some changes as many of the Americans left, and we became a fully, well, for a while, a European shire. Now we're very international again, which is great. And now we're a canton, as Knights Crossing changed from being our neighbor to being all of Germany. Been through lots of changes. But I came in from Dungeons & Dragons, basically. Although it wasn't actually Dungeons & Dragons. It was something else.
Similar.
Was it RuneQuest, perhaps?
It was, yeah, it was a RuneQuest-based historical campaign set in 7th century Britain, which is what I still play with my main persona.
Cool.
That shows the importance of actually taking care of newcomers. If you haven't had the good welcoming, you probably left, right?
So absolutely. I mean,
you need to be welcoming to newcomers. That's
I think there were a couple of things that were important about my first event. One of them was that it was a nice day. It was sunny. It was warm, where we'd get away from the wind if we wanted to. So we were wearing really rubbishy garb. You know, I was literally, Solvay was in some kind of green dress. I was in a woolen blanket and a large broad belt, like some sort of Old Testament prophet, looked like sort of Charlton Heston as Moses, you know, with my shoulders and arms bare. I think I may have had a stick, I don't remember. And you know, we would have got cold if they hadn't looked after us, you know. We also, and I think people might not like to hear this, but I think it's an important reason we stayed, we somehow missed court. Because I think we went to try and help somebody go and buy a motorbike or something like this. He needed the German translator, so we went away for a bit. I find that lots of people, when they're new, find things like court really confusing and very, very boring. So we somehow missed that. We got the sunshine, we got to watch the fighting and take part in some crafts, and then we had a wonderful feast afterwards with really nice people. And that's kind of what brought us in.
Lovely.
I think it sounds like a very good sort of recipe for success there, to just get all the best parts.
It was. This was one of the last events in the principality. So Carl and Leia were princes. Carl and Leia. And then my second event was already a kingdom.
So we must have met at your second event then.
Yes, although I think maybe Elfin was there and you weren't.
Probably true.
Possibly, yeah. I remember meeting you soon after, but I think at the first one, Elfin was there.
We did split up for many events, so we can cover more areas.
Small.
Good. And Estrid, I mean, when we talk about courts, you're very important for me as. From the first time when I saw you in the SA, I thought you were so cool. The Baroness of Nordmark. I was like, seeing you at court in your fabulous dresses and being so cool made me stay.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful. I think back then we were a little bit more entertaining at court. We did put it was a little bit more theatrical, I would say, than what it has been the last decades. Yeah. I would say. I mean, we have exceptions. We have now and then couples that sort of makes it more entertaining again. But then there's a formula that we seem to stay at, still keep with quite a lot, and that is makes it easier for the royalty, I think. But it also maybe makes it a little bit boring to be.
Yeah, we need more of the silliness. Classiness and silliness.
Yeah. I perfectly agree. As someone who has sat on a throne fairly recently, it's like with the more things that, like, when as the kingdom is growing, there's more and more things that sort of need to happen, that is like required. I mean, of course, you could be like, no, we're not going to do this, we're going to do this instead. But like, things that are expected, things that should happen, things that needs to be done at court, and with the amount that amount growing, the amount of time for just fun and games is smaller, because the courts are already really long usually. So then it's harder to just add in these like more relaxed, more fun moments. But like, I think that is something that could be worth thinking about as we go forward. Like, is that what we want? Do we want it to be just like a lineup of very formal things that needs to be ticked off? Or should we just try and sort of shake it up a bit? Like,
if you would ask me for my opinion, I would say, no, that's not what we want.
Oh, no, exactly. You know. Exactly. And I mean, lots of people, I know that it's something that is kind of problematic, because I mean, as you say, it's done with one of the good things, like one of the things that maybe possibly made you stay was that you missed court at that first event. And that says a lot. And it's like, is that then the recipe for making people stay when they come to their first few events? Make sure that they actually don't go to court. Then we're doing something wrong, because court should be enjoyable, even if it's not like, even if you don't understand all of it the first time.
Well, nowadays newcomers get a present at court. So,
That's great when it's an invitation. Mm-hmm. I've seen it been a pressure on newcomers, which has been very unwelcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people just do not want to go up there.
No.
And then sometimes someone, we have seen this a couple of times, someone very well-meaning just say, oh, could you come on up, go up now, you two. You're also new. This is your, and quite loudly, and makes a thing of it. Mm. And it becomes really, really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
They really don't want to.
So it needs to be very, very careful.
Yeah,
we've said that before on the pod, although in Swedish though. But it's you can choose. You can just sit there.
Yeah,
absolutely. And this I think is really, really important.
In the back seat.
Yeah,
it's having options. In the events that I've been involved in organizing in a small way recently, one of the things that I and others have tried to make happen is that there's always an alternative thing going on. Whether it's court or it's the tournament, whatever the main activity is, there should be something else. Even if that's just a quiet place, a cafe you can go and sit, a room with some board games, there's a valid alternative. So, you know, if you're sitting in your first court and it gets to 2 hours, you want to go somewhere else. So you're either going to leave, or maybe you can go and play a board game somewhere, you know, that kind of thing. And I think we should really be aware of that. We should try to say, and I know it's difficult with spaces and so on, but next to our main track at an event, what is the alternative at any given moment?
Because these days we do talk about safe spaces a lot. And sometimes as a new person, the safe space might be somewhere out away from the weirdo stuff that we're actually doing at that very moment.
Because
it's not self-explanatory. And even when we have people trying to explain...
Court buddies,
we have been talking, we call them. It's still sometimes just too much, I think.
I mean, sometimes you can just like, you can understand what's going on because someone is explaining it, but it might still not be entertaining. That guy got this award for doing this and this. Oh yeah, that's cool. He seems like a nice guy. Whatever. I don't know him. I don't know these other people. So maybe that's not a thing that you want to sit through for hours and hours. So this is an important discussion. It's very interesting. But as I said before we started actually recording the episode, we're going to talk about you guys and not only about like, oh, the SAA politics. We can do that in another episode. But I was thinking like we got into the whole like Aced and why you stayed, or like your first event. But Aced, you were there to start up Attemark and that part of it. Like, what that must have been, I think, very different, because then you had the opportunity to sort of decide what you were going to do, what it was going to be about, and apparently you found a way that made you stay. Mm-hmm. But what was it? What did you do? What made you stay in the SEA? What is it that still hooks you, like, while you're around?
Well,
or was it different then and now?
It was definitely different than now. I mean, in the beginning, it was a completely different world. I mean, I was in the Tolkien Society first, and I had really no other reason to leave the Tolkien Society for the SEA, except that I had just broken up with my then boyfriend in the Tolkien Society, and I thought, like, not so fun to go to those events at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then a few friends in the Tolkien Society had sort of started up Nordmark, basically. Mm-hmm. We were very, very few in the beginning. I mean, when I joined, the entire list of members was one A4 page, mm-hmm. written on machine with the entire address and phone number and everything for each and every person in two rows like this. Mm-hmm. So I think we were like 12 people maybe at the time, yeah, in the entire Nordmark. And there was no group down in Skåne. Basically, I lived there and I wanted to have people to play with. And the only way I can think of was that we, you know, have to have more people. We have to start a group. And there were a few other people who joined from the Malmö, the Skåne Tolkien Society as well. Mm. And some people that came from outside the Tolkien Society. And we just started doing it. And actually, one of the things that made it easy was that we didn't have so much information about the SEA, to be honest. So we created our own game. We got what we knew from the Stockholm group, basically, because that was what Nordmark was at the time. It was mostly Stockholm. And this was in 1985-ish, 1985.
And Nordmark celebrates its 40th jubilee this year.
Mm. Yeah.
So the Stockholm group had been around for about a year or something.
Yeah.
We got the rights in 84.
Yeah. Mm. So it was really very early. And we had information that came up from Central Drachenwald with Americans that came up and told us this is what SEA is. And then they came twice a year for two events or so, and then they left. And then there were, you know, written letters and phone calls that cost a lot of money. That was the information. Mm. So we built our own group, and no one told us, no, we don't do this in the SEA, or this is what we do in the SEA. So we did what we wanted, basically. And then what we did was that we started to go to a few Drachenwald events down in Central and try to pick up what was happening. To be very frank, I mean, it was lovely to make all those lovely dresses, and it was easy back then because we knew nothing. The materials, you went to the fabric shop and you got, you know, what they had, which was that stretch.
You got the color you wanted.
You saw something that was almost velvet. That was what you got. You didn't have to think about, you know, thread counts and materials and stuff, because there was no choice. And then you went to the library, and if you were really, really fancy, you didn't try to find the one costume book they had. What you did was you went and looked at some overview of medieval art or Renaissance art, and you find a nice painting and say, well, I want to dress like that. And then you made it with the knowledge you had from what you learned in school a couple of years before. And that was really fun. Because we didn't know better, and we thought we looked magical, and I think we did.
Actually. You did.
Absolutely, yes.
I've seen the photos.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You looked fantastic.
And it was easy, and it was fun, and there were a lot of boys. Yeah, that's the fact.
There were a lot of young boys. Like, I mean, that was perfect.
Yeah, and lots of people were single, and we were young. So, so that was fun. That was fun. And I stayed on, because I got together with the guy who became the Baron of Nordmark, and I became the Baroness of Nordmark, and that was one era. And then I came back because of friends, and then I have stayed. Then I met another boy, the one right here that I married, and yeah, I started for the fairy tale and for making the nice dresses and for the fun and partying and boys. And I have stayed on for the friendships. That's it, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's 39 years later. That's still the truth.
So some pretty good friendships there then.
Yeah, absolutely. Like like the lady sitting beside you. Well, you know, you're not exactly beside you, but on my screen, you're.
Yeah. You're but she's beside me on my screen too. So.
Yes. Yeah, we've known each other for a long time. And I absolutely adore your dresses. I mean, you had a white one, 12th century. It was absolutely fabulous.
The one with the gold corsage, right?
Oh, yes.
that was fabulous. I'm not going to be humble. No. I look awesome.
People shouldn't be humble. Humble is overrated.
Humble is not SEA. It's I know. No.
Yeah.
It's been quite interesting. I've come to know Nordmark probably too late in my SCA career. I went up there for the first time, which is when we met, was in...
Yeah, when was that?
97, I think. Something like that.
Eight. Yeah.
98, okay. And when you're in Germany, Sweden sounds like it's far away. It isn't. It's really, really easy to get to. That's for you Swedes listening. Germany's much closer than you think it is. Come down, yeah? It was interesting to see the difference. You know, for us down here, we feel, on that time, we felt very much like a transplanted society. You know, Americans started the SCA in Germany. A lot of the initial people playing in Germany had spent time in the US or stuff like this. And that changed very much with the drawdown, when lots of the American forces went back to the States and so on. And there was kind of a bit of a yawning gap for a while. We still have far fewer groups than we used to have back in the day.
To talk about us.
Yes, I know. I'm saying. I'm being told to talk about us here, excuse me. So one of the differences that we have in our games is having a bootstrapped SCA, which I see in Nordmark, and I think in Arnhemidse as well. And you have a transplanted one, which I think you might see in Germany and in the Isles. There are other places, of course, like Netherlands and Austria and so on. I don't want to ignore them.
Arnhemidse.
But Arnhemidse, yeah.
Oh, he mentioned Arnhemidse. He said that.
Oh, sorry.
I heard Arnhemidse.
I get told off whether I'm right, wrong or right. It's very normal.
Yeah, but no, I'm here to defend you. I'm going to... Yeah.
that's also reflected in our experience of this, you know, as a couple who sort of play the game in two quite different ways.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, there are... And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to actually make this this season of the podcast in English, to talk to people outside of Nordmark. Because we do realize, and as we have traveled, both of us, both me and Vanna, and seen the different parts of Drachenwald.
And the SCA as a whole. I mean,
and the SCA.
I've been to events in the States as well. Mm. And it's such a bizarre beast, the society we're in. It has so many faces. It's weird.
But I keep thinking of it like, I don't know when I formulated this. It's not too long ago, strangely enough, but it is like any really large country, or like the US, and you look at the different countries, and every country has the different cultures. And I became much more aware of this when I moved to Germany from Sweden, because I always thought like Germany is not that different to Sweden. And, you know, it's the language. Otherwise, I mean, it's Europe. But the longer I live here, the more differences I find. Yeah. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. And I think this is very much the same experience I have with SEA groups, that when you travel between groups, you see that there are different cultures that have developed. And sometimes those cultures doesn't really work with how you think things should be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like when you go to a different country, sometimes you just have to, you know, all right. Mm-hmm. You have to swing along with how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. You have to sometimes just sort of adapt your brain and how you do things to wherever you end up. It doesn't depend, or it doesn't matter if you're in the SCA going to an event, or if you're just going on holiday or working or in another country, because those differences are still there. And it's quite easy, like the first time you visit a country that is fairly similar to your home country, you can be like, oh, but this is about the same. And then the more time you spend there, just as you said, Astrid, it's you see the differences. So they become more apparent to you. And that can be a positive thing, but it can also be a negative thing, or just something that you sort of reflect upon more.
And usually when you visit another country, you may go there as a tourist. Mm. But if you go there, I've been traveling with exchange students, student groups to Belfast, to Thailand, to China. And then you get to meet people, real people, doing real stuff in the ordinary life, not just touristy people. And the same thing when we go to events with the SEA, we meet real people doing this extraordinary thing we do, but still real people.
Mm.
Mm. And you get a weird picture of it as well, because, of course, that's a subset. You know, I was in Arizona a few weeks ago, and if you ask me what stands out, I'd say lots of crossbows. Yeah, because that was the SCA experience. There was lots of combat archery, for what I'm used to. And that's what I take away from Arizona. I don't mean Arizona people wearing crossbows in the street. I mean people dressed up in funny clothes in a field somewhere, because that was all I saw. And when I think about the places that I've been to with the SCA, I've met this subset of people. And that's very interesting as well, because we need to acknowledge that we are one. You know, that we are not a cross-section. We should be, we can work on that, but we're not really a cross-section of society.
We're not. Mm. And with those very wise words, I think we're going to take a short break to this first part of the podcast, and we're going to hear some wise words from one of our listeners, I think, and we will be right back.
Hej, jag heter Mistress Anna Larsdotter och jag lyssnar på Någonstans I Nordmark.
Oh, that was lovely to hear. So we're back in the studio again for some more interesting facts about you guys. Tell us more.
Yeah. Well, I think most of the people who didn't know me from way back when I was still in Nordmark and very active in Baroness and all this. Oh, I forgot. I started my career actually in Nordmark as the court fool.
That's right, you did.
Yes, I was the baronial fool, court fool, for a little while. And then the baron fell in love with the fool and then I became baroness. So that's one way to do it.
You had a very short tunic and tights, as I remember.
Yes, it was a very short tunic with bells and tights. That did it.
It helps.
Yes, but for those who weren't back then might know me better for my jewellery. So because since I moved down here, I have focused more on studying and researching jewellery and also making it. Mm. And I've done that now for 10, 12 years then. And I was interesting before as well. I was interested in jewellery before and interesting, as I said, but that's, never mind.
Always interesting.
Always interesting. But now I'm still doing the jewellery and it's still fun and I keep doing it. But we have been talking about something else we're going to do, and we want to get more entertainment back and maybe try to do a little bit more theatrical stuff and music and things.
Yeah. Mm.
That's sort of a plan we have together.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, my one of my day jobs is theatre, so I'm really interested in that. And a lot of the things that I've done in the SCA have been either martial stuff or theatrical stuff. So I was Earl Marshall for 4 years and ran some big tournaments and stuff like this at the 10-year, 30-year and 20-year events and other times. But more recently, one of the things, as you say, has been making things a bit more entertaining, simply more entertaining for people. Mm. One thing we did recently together with our friend Baron Aguilmar was the elevation of another friend, Baroness Anna. And we did that, the two of us plus Aguilmar, as a court trial, you know, with a devil's advocate, which was actually her husband and her pelican, saying she should not be raised to the pelican, and her friend Baroness Estrid arguing that she would, and asking for people to speak up for her, which then ended up being the different orders and the populace speaking up. And so we tried to sort of play with a medieval form in a fun way and have a thing which wasn't just a typical or wasn't a typical SCA ceremony. Mm. And there was a second elevation the same day, which was a beautiful classical one done by the Laurels, really, really classy. So it was nice to have that sort of that contrast. Otherwise, if you had two on the same day using the same formula, that's getting pretty heavy. You know? So this kind of stuff.
We were not classy.
No, we're not. We've seldom been accused of being classy. No.
That's a good thing, I think.
I think I was just going to say, I think that's a good thing. Yeah. That's something to be proud of.
But it's nice when the audience, the populace, is really laughing at something like that and joining in and shouting things out and you know, slapping their thighs. And luckily, which was our main goal, of course, the lady being elevated, Anna, was also enjoying herself very much. There's lovely shots of her laughing as well. So so we want to. What I really, really find is super cool recently was, for example, the Drachenwald songbook happening. So we can, as that becomes better known, we have a little sort of set of songs we can all sing. We had an event just here, just this weekend in Meadowmarsh, and our Austrian friends, they were singing at the table, which was lovely. We didn't know the same songs. That's the problem we have to get past in a very, very multicultural kingdom like we are. But I think that's the thing we can work on. A good sing-along, some entertainment at feast, more fun stuff happening. It can be, doesn't have to be silly. It can be moving as well, or even both. You know.
But also I think it's a good thing. I mean, you mentioned the tournaments of like doing them also more into a show, because lots of people enjoy just watching fighting. So you can have like a perfectly serious tournament where it's actually fighting about something, a prize, but there can be things added to it to make it maybe a little bit silly, partly, but it's still a serious tournament. But just to make it, I think that helps making it more enjoyable for more people, also for the people who are not super interested in heavy fighting, for instance.
Like you did on
whatever. Yeah, whatever martial art it's about. So because I very much enjoyed the, as you mentioned that 10 years, 30 years, the one that you set up at 30 years with where Vanna and I were a little bit involved as sort of sponsors for the tournament. And it was so much fun. And I mean, we had fun. We were involved, obviously, but we could also see the rest of the audience. I mean, lots of people that were at the event were there to watch it, and they enjoyed themselves. Like they all had a good time. The fighters had a really good time. So it was very much you really managed to reach that goal of everybody enjoying it in different ways, possibly. But like there was something in there for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, what another thing which also interests us both is this idea of history, as in the SCA having a history. And okay, we're old fogies, so of course we find this more interesting than we did when we were younger. But many years ago we used to organize a Par d'Armes here in Termstadt, which was a series of allegorical combats around the history of our group, you know, and who were the people that were involved and what were the conflicts and what were the resolutions of those conflicts, and telling those through 7 or 8 rounds of a Par d'Armes. Yeah, which wove in some medieval history about, you know, 7 deadly sins and 7 virtues and all this kind of stuff, which was very, very well known to a medieval person, or Song of Roland or whatever it would be. But weaving our own legends and history into that, I think that's legitimate, because for medieval people, these things were very, very present. They weren't something out of a book. They were something from the world around them. And we haven't got all the detail of that, so we can bring that into our stuff as well, I think.
Yeah, and after 40 or 50 years, as Drachenwald has it, so sooner or later, we have some history to take from.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
Maybe we're still alive to be there and see it.
Well, didn't Drachenwald start it in 79? I mean,
65. No, Drachenwald. Yes, that must have been around 79 or 80.
Yeah. The SCA started in 66.
No, 65.
66.
I was at the 50-year jubilee. It must have been 66, because I was 16.
I guess you're right then, I suppose.
I think you're down right on that one.
Okay, I give up.
She admits grudgingly.
I give up.
Yeah.
And other things we also enjoy now is, I'm the seneschal of Termstadt at the moment. Not because I think being seneschal is the most fun thing in the world at all, but no, someone had to do it. And then it turned out that During the pandemic, I did a course in service design, and during that course, I had to do some projects. And one of the projects turned out to be what people like about the SCA, basically, mm-hmm. and don't like about the SCA. And I got some data out of that, which was really, really interesting. And so when I became Seneschal, me and Adam, we talked about, and we said, okay, so how can we use the data from that little tiny research project I did and to grow this group, maybe? Because the group had some really, really old, steady, stable members, but we didn't grow exactly. Mm. You know, we were very, it was very the same old farts doing very little or the same like we always did. And I'm sorry, Termstadt, this is how it was. and then we thought, okay, what can we do about this? And yeah, so what I did was that I told my husband, I think we should do something. And that was like pushing a stone over the edge, and then it rolled because he got going. Mm.
Well, yeah, what I found really interesting about this is, like, so often when you actually start listening and ignoring your own assumptions, is you find out that things are not quite the way that you thought they were. And it seems that, at least in this very, I call it a pre-study, it was very, very limited, but we're exploring it and it's very interesting. You know, people don't really come for the history. You know, they come because they're bored at the weekend because they want friends. Okay, so what do we do with that? And we have been using that in a few ways. We have an outward-facing social media page which has no SCA terms on it. That's the rule. Yeah, it's German first, and then English is the second language. We don't use the word Knight. We don't use the word Shire or Canton. We don't use the term SCA. It's there if you look for it, but we are a local medieval group, part of an international society. Yeah, we do this and we do that, and this is what you can do here. Now, we don't talk about that we're the so-and-so canton of the so-and-so barony of the so-and-so kingdom. Who cares? That's just weird culty stuff. We talk about, hey, come on the weekend and you can shoot some bows and arrows. You can pick up a sword. You can cook something amazing. You can try your hand at pottery, whatever it is. Yeah. And then we place that not in other medieval groups because they've already got their hobbies. Of course, they're very welcome to come along, and we do wave at them occasionally. We talk to people who are new in town, who are expats, who are bored at the weekend, you know, this kind of stuff. And I think it's been really, really fun to watch people show up. Yeah, I'm proud of this. We literally have in our group Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Hindus, and atheists. Yeah, we have people from 12 or 13 different countries. You know, we have people from countries who are at conflict right now who are friends in this society, or at least able to have fun together. Yeah. Mm. And it's really, really cool to do that. What we shouldn't forget when we're doing that is that we also have people who've been around for a while who want to have their stuff as well. It can't everything be for the newbies, of course. Yeah. And it's trying to find a balance between that and learning from each other and having fun together. But it's fun to do that. We've brought folks along. We say, come to the Gubble Wars, you know, just come, we'll make it happen. Here's a tunic, here's a sword, whatever, get in the car, yeah, and we'll come on up. And it's been really, really fun to see people's eyes open up when they see the kind of fun they can have in this. And not everyone stays, of course, but many, many do. And that's my passion at the moment, is seeing new people experience this and in some ways fall in love with this weird little game that we have.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That sounds great. Yeah.
And I like the also, it's important to be aware of that to find the balance where you do really welcome and accommodate for these new people and make them find things that they love, but also to still make it the escape that the oldies know and want. Yeah. And trying to find that. It's like,
it's not easy at all.
It's not at all easy. No. But I think it's a great thing that you are so very aware of it.
Yeah, I don't know if we have been always successful,
but we
are very aware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I completely agree with the thing that we are not talking too much of the typical SEA stuff. Mm. Sometimes that becomes a little bit difficult because they come to an event and suddenly there are all the crowns and we do have the courts and it's kind of, we didn't really talk about that, but...
And as now when you're here, history is in a way.
But for the most part, people are like, oh, okay, cool. Oh, we play along. Yeah. Sometimes it's not that easy. Mm. But most of the time people are like, oh, yeah, okay. But it's like we said in the beginning, if there's only a place people can step away if they want to, then it's okay. You know? Yeah. And we're trying to be super clear that no one has to do anything. And that's, I mean, that has always been rule number one in the SCA since I started. No one has to do anything that they don't want to. That is rule number one.
Mm. Mm. And I mean, we do all know oldies that have been in the society for ages and that don't like to go to court. For example, now, I mean, we're not going to just trash courts. There are other things that people don't like to do.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just did it myself. But just as an example, that we know people that have been in the society for ages. They know everybody involved. They know the people being called up to get awards. But they're still like, oh, no, I can't face it. I'm just going to go sit in the tavern and have a beer with a friend of mine. Yeah. You know,
yes,
because that's what they enjoy. And that's absolutely fine. That's not
why most of us stay is because of the people, the people and the fantastic hang around, soft. What we do, we're just having fun all the time.
Mm. Yeah. And also those, I mean, I don't know if it is because I've been around for so long now, and I think that it is because I think I see that in my ordinary mundane life. The older I get, it's a little bit harder to get that, you know, that super enthusiastic about seeing or being, you know, struck by the magic of something. Mm. I don't quite have the imagination I had, or I don't have that really. But now and then you still, you know, you look out over a group of people sitting in the candlelight and they all, and everyone is beautiful. It doesn't matter what they look like in real life because it's, you know, they're just beautiful, fairy tale beings sitting there. Mm. And then you have that wonderful immersion, that feeling of immersion. Mm. And sometimes that comes again. And I feel like that's the fix. That is sort of the fix you're after, you know, those little moments. Sometimes it happens still, I think, and they're beautiful.
And it's worth still being. I mean, you stay for the people, but it's also worth it for finding those moments.
Yes.
It's like, but then on the other hand, like for many of us, and I think that's true for us that sits here, that like we have our friends here, our closest friends, the people we hang out with most. Are in this society, or at least want to hang out with, even if we can't all the time because we live in different parts of the country or the world. But like,
apparently, we all found our significant others in this society, right?
Yeah, it's
apparently we did.
No, it's a small pond.
Oh yeah,
but it's a good pond.
It's a great pond. It's a great pond.
I can recommend the frogs.
At least I don't think we have shared any. Otherwise, that's quite often you sit with a group of friends and you kind of...
You're like, oh, so you...
Yes, I know.
No, I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Wasn't that the SCA stands for? Sex in a Creative Atmosphere?
There we have it.
Society of Consenting Adults, I've also heard. Yeah, exactly. This is the thing, you get all these great reports that, you know, the SCA is full of, you know, wild parties and orgies, and I'm like, I never got invited. Maybe that's feedback, I should just accept it.
But that's also me, I think, 2 years ago, actually, for the first time, reading through the Bible of, like, polyamory and open relationships. There's a book called The Ethical Slut, which is like, anyone who wants to get into this world, this is where you should start, is what everybody says. It's a fairly old book. And then you come to the chapter where it's about like, so where do you find like-minded people? Where do you go to find these people? And first lines are like, oh, you should visit you should visit a Ren Fair or your local SCA group. That's actually what it says in that book. That is sold in like millions of copies around the world. That's what we're known for, apparently.
I was watching that video went around recently about Slippery Rock, a very nicely filmed little news report about the town of Slippery Rock in Pennsylvania, which was 80% about the SCA. And it was very nicely filmed, and it was good. It was a good report, I think. There were lots of things missing, of course, but and there was a lady in there, they were interviewing an SCA member. And she said, well, it's kind of all the strange ducks. you know. And I think there's a lot of value in that, the fact that this is a community where the first thing is you're welcome. Yeah. The second thing is there's obviously something cool about you. Let's find what it is. And I have friends who've said to me they've not really had friends before they were in this society. And that's a horrible thing to have to live through. And it's wonderful that they've found maybe a place where they can be like that. I think that's important.
And basically what, so we just keep coming back to the whole, the fact of like the reason that we all stay is because of the people. I mean, the medieval setting, the games, the play, like what we do, it's important, but that's not why we stay. That's why we were drawn in.
Yeah.
First thing, but that's not why we're still around. It's a very nice thing to think about. And I mean, we're coming up to, and I mean, we're in March now, heading into spring, summer, where there will be more events, longer events. We will see more of each other, which is a great thing. I'm very, very happy that we're coming into this season. So even if we, as we have mentioned in previous episodes, basically you can go, more or less you can go to an event every weekend around Europe. But it's usually like a little bit harder in the winter time. It's a little bit like, I'm not sure. But when the spring comes and you start going to like the long outdoor camping events, and it's just a different thing. You can see the spring arrive in southern Sweden.
Although Double Wars is horribly early this year.
Yes, it is.
It is, yeah.
It's going to be cold.
Cold. The rest of us really thinks you should move it to August. Just if, as I have Nordmark listening, please move Double Wars. Please put it in August.
But August has
the rest of us do not think that.
No. You're Nordmark. No. You don't count. Yeah.
No. I think we're good. We're good. May's fine.
Well, I'm sleeping indoors. I'm fine.
Same. I'm not camping. So.
God, yes.
I've got a bed. I'm good. I mean,
the only time I actually slept outdoors at Double Wars, it was this time of year, and I will never do that again. It was freezing. It was like,
I think you're making my point for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I do, like, to be honest, knowing myself, I think I would be absolutely fine, because I do like,
you never freeze.
I never freeze, I love sleeping when it's cold. Like, it's the best thing. But then the whole thing of like setting up camp and bringing stuff and like, oh, no, that's not for me. But like, I think I would really enjoy the whole cold thing.
You can open the window.
I have 16 degrees.
I can, and then I have people sleep. That's the thing, when you share with people, and then you have people in your room that are like, it's freezing, there are mosquitoes. And then you're like, and there's...
Well, if it's freezing, there are no mosquitoes.
That's true. But not everybody understands that.
So you have to choose freezing or mosquitoes.
Yeah. I prefer freezing.
Oh, yes, I prefer freezing.
I like freezing. Freezing is good. Yeah. So, and I think actually those will have to be the final words for this episode. No, they won't. Do you have anything else that you feel that we should add to this that we haven't talked about, that you love or hate about the SEA? Or... anything you just want to tell people about it?
I just want to say thank you for being there, honestly. This is just lovely. As we said, I mean, what did you say? Strange ducks. Mm-hmm. I mean, where else can you meet all these fantastic people and learn so much?
True.
I just love that. So yeah, thank you for everyone. And if anyone ever wants to come up and talk to me, please do that. You know, I am extremely available to talk to, and I don't remember what people look like because, you know, face blindness, but...
So start with saying your name and then say, hey!
Yes, and we might have seen each other several times before, and that won't help. But I'm sure I really, really like you anyway.
That's good. It's good to reassure people like that.
Yes, I would absolutely echo that, and also say to Nordmark, it's wonderful when you come and see us. We had four or five Nordmarkers here last weekend at boot camp. That was wonderful.
Right.
We've had people drive down recently to our events. We're working hard on getting a longer camping event going in Knights Crossing, or as we call it, Greater Turmstadt. But and it's called Red and Gold. I really recommend it. It's a beautiful, relaxed event. It's 4 days, but why not hang on a couple more days, visit some I'm sorry, our castles are better than your castles. I'm sorry, it had to be said.
They are.
You're right. Yeah, castles. We're just going to admit that.
I'm trying to get into the board at the Läckö Castle. When I get there, I'll come back.
See, okay. We can do events there.
Come and enjoy the lovely weather down here, and especially in the spring and the autumn. And we will look after you, and we'll show you a Knight's Crossing welcome.
Oh.
And if you're coming to Knight's Crossing, remember that Termstadt has the highest density of breweries on planet Earth, Guinness Book of Records. So this is a place to focus on.
Yeah, I've been down visiting you, so I can highly recommend Termstadt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm.
And now I really want to come visit. I mean, I wanted to come visit you guys before, but now I also want to go to events and just hang around in Termstadt. It sounds amazing.
We have a guest room.
Yeah, I've heard. I am aware of that. But thank you for mentioning it again.
You can.
So I just want to thank you for wanting to be in this episode of Någonstans I Nordmark, or Somewhere in Drachenwald this season. And we're really happy that we could get this chance to talk to you. Yeah, Vanna.
I'm always glad to see you and hear you and talk to you. I love you guys.
Thank you. We love you too.
Love you.
This sounds very American, but we do.
But we do. That's true. I love you.
I love you too.
So much. Oh. So that's that. We're going to have a short summary in Swedish coming up. And then we'll talk to each other in 2 weeks again. So time flies. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we will say that if you need to contact us, you can do
all
that.
All right. Good one.
On the email, nagonstansinordmark. In Swedish, though, at gmail.com, nagonstansinordmark@gmail.com.
Yeah. Or, I mean, if that's too complicated, just find us on our Facebook page and write to us on Messenger, or write something on the Facebook page. So get in touch. We don't always answer quickly, but we will answer you at some point when we can. So thanks. And
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kort sammanfattning på svenska. I veckans avsnitt talade Bea och Vanna engelska igen. Det går ganska bra för dem. Deras engelsklärare från skoltiden skulle vara stolta över dem. Veckans gäster var baronessan Estrid av Nordmark och hennes man, Master Athsten av Wortum. De bor i Termstadt, södra Knights Crossing, det vill säga Tyskland. Båda har varit med i SCA väldigt länge. Estrid var första baronessan av Nordmark och var med och grundade Attemark, dåvarande Torsheim. Athsten kommer från England men hittade SCA i Tyskland och har nu varit med sedan 90-talet. Efter många år i Nordmark fann Estrid Athsten och flyttade också till Tyskland. Det är alltså ett väldigt kosmopolitiskt par som är med i dagens avsnitt. De pratar om vad de gillar med föreningen och vad de helst sysslar med. De vill gärna utveckla teaterverksamheten på evenemangen och ställer gärna till trevliga spektakel kring till exempel hov. Athsten fightas och ordnar emellanåt fantasifulla turneringar. Han är också en duktig hovherold. Estrid har de senaste åren gjort sin hobby till sitt levebröd och förser Drachenwald och hela den kända världen med kronor och juveler. Ser man sig omkring på ett hov kan du vara ganska säker på att du ser någon med en krona som Estrid gjort. Hon är också drotts i Termstadt. De talar om Tolkienföreningarna, den gamla goda tiden, hur föreningen förändrats sedan mitten av 80-talet, likheter och skillnader mellan olika grupper i SCA och att Tyskland är närmare Sverige än svenskarna tror. Så åk gärna och hälsa på. Om 2 veckor är Bea och Vanna tillbaka igen. För mer snack på engelska.